Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a little Texans, a lot of college football talk. Got into some of that. Pretty good first hour.
Not bad.
Very sportsy. So, hey, is Lance going to come on with us today? All right, Lance will join us at 5:30.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to have him at 5:30 on Mondays to talk a little football.
All right.
So, all right. He says, Jaguars have played two good quarterbacks. Hold off on their defense. If you want an elite defense, check out the Vikings schedule. Go away, Vikings fan. Yes, you're having a great season.
Vikings are good, too.
You're very good. But let's not just dismiss another team because you're having a good season. That's pretty pathetic. All right.
Yeah, Minnesota, though. They've been...
I'll tell you what. That was a good win for them yesterday to go in and beat the Falcons. And that defense, they have drafted so well on that side of the ball. And man, they play such good team defense. Mike Zimmer is a hell of a coach. I got to give it to him.
And Case Keenum's having a great year.
He is. And he hasn't turned into a pumpkin yet.
No.
And he hasn't gotten hurt, which is, to me, that's pretty amazing because they've done a good job of keeping him upright. That offensive line, that was a mess last year. They fixed that. So
somebody's going to pay Case Keenum this offseason to be a starter.
Well, yeah, they are.
And I think it's going to be a disastrous decision.
Well,
somebody's going to do it.
Well, that's the thing. You look at what they've paid the Mike Glennons of the world. Yep. What do you think he's going to make?
He's going to get paid.
All right, let's go through those games from yesterday, including that one. Vikings won it 14-9, and just a very efficient game again from Keenum, 25 of 30 for 227, two touchdowns.
Zero incompletions in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more talent around him, I think, than he's ever had. He's also probably got the best coaching staff he's ever had, and they're using him the right way, and he's thriving, and they're getting enough out of their running backs, and defensively, they were terrific. And the Falcons in a little bit of trouble here at 7-5.
Yeah, they couldn't get anything going yesterday. They really needed a win yesterday. And it was there for the taking.
Yeah.
They just couldn't put it in the end zone at any point. And down the stretch, they're going to have to – I don't know that they've got to win out, but they can probably afford to lose one more game. And they've got home and away with the Saints at Tampa and home to the Panthers. There's not an easy game really left on their schedule. I don't think Tampa is going to be a walkthrough with Jameis Winston. So Atlanta, if they want to make the playoffs, they better get it together in a hurry.
Patriots go in and beat the Bills 23-3. Tyrod Taylor gets hurt early, which was a killer, and Gronk with a really chicken bleep hit.
Yeah, Gronk suspended, and
should be.
Yeah, and I'm praying tonight that AJ Green scores at least 12 fantasy points so I can get a bye in the first round because I need it because I've got Gronk in every single league that I'm in. I'm in three leagues. I have Gronk in all three. It's just a bonehead move, and he's lucky it was just one game, honestly.
Yeah,
I got a concussion from it.
Yeah, and it was unnecessary.
It was stupid.
And even Belichick was saying afterwards, he was apologizing, because you can't do that. 49ers beat the Bears 15-14. The Jimmy Garoppolo era is underway.
Yeah, and it wasn't like fireworks or anything with the game yesterday, but you're seeing that they're building something there, and they were way better on third down than they've been all year. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like he's going to be their guy. I don't know what took him so long to get to this, but it looks like he's going to be the guy for the rest of the season. And they did a good job keeping him upright. It's not like the Bears are a good team, but The Niners looked like they had the better quarterback in the game yesterday.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what Shanahan does there. I think next year they take a step forward. The year after that, I think they're back to contender
status. I'm with you.
Packers beat the Bucks 26-20 overtime, and Packers are sitting at 6-6.
They're still in the mix.
And may get Rodgers back. And it looks like they will get Rodgers back.
And their schedule's favorable. I mean, they've got some winnable games.
I think 10 wins, it's going to take 10 wins, though. I think they're going to have to win out if they're going to make the playoffs. Because they're not catching the Vikings in the division. And I think that wild card's going to be a little difficult.
Yeah, they've got the Browns next week. That's pretty much a sure win. Then they get the Panthers, and then they've got the Lions and the Vikings. They've got to figure out they're going to have to win divisional games if they want to make the playoffs. But yeah, I mean they're winning games now, or they've won a couple games with Brett Hundley, and he's looked serviceable at times. He's looked really, really awful at times.
Yeah,
yesterday was a serviceable day, so it worked out for him. And they ran the ball really well.
Dolphins beat the Broncos 35-9. The Broncos, I'll say it, Broncos are worse than the Texans right now. This is just bad football team.
How did it happen so fast?
I don't know.
Because at least with the Texans, you can say, well, all these guys got hurt. I don't know what's going on with the Broncos. The Broncos are going to fire Vance Joseph.
Yeah, this is going to be a one-year wonder.
But
about the onside kick at the end.
Oh, man.
I mean, rubbing it in.
Yeah, the Broncos are really, really bad. And it's crazy that they started out 3-1. And then that loss to the Giants just unraveled them.
Jets beat the Chiefs 38-31, and don't look now, but guess who's tied for the division lead with the Chiefs? The San Diego Chargers.
Yep. The Los Angeles Chargers.
Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going to call them San Diego every freaking day.
Yeah, it's going
to
take a while.
I have not got that out of my head yet. They're still San Diego to me.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs have got to be one of the most bizarre stories of the season. I mean, great start. They look like the best team in football for the first five games. Alex Smith was an MVP candidate, and now they're losing to the Jets.
Yeah, bad look.
Good game for Tariq Hill, though.
Yep. Speaking of those Chargers, I mean, obviously they played the Browns, so they clearly won. I know you thought that was probably one of your mini losses.
That was one of my misses, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They didn't look as explosive as they had, but at this point, if you're in the AFC West, a win is, I mean, one step closer to the playoffs these days.
And I think that's how they played, basically, was once they got the lead up to I guess it was 19-7. They basically were just, let's get out of here with the win.
Yeah.
That's why.
So, three-way tie in the AFC West. And the team that I'm basically writing off is the Chiefs. I just don't think that they're...
I don't know what the hell happened to them.
I don't know what happened to them either. The Raiders have a tough schedule. Their last three games, Cowboys at Eagles at Chargers. Mm. And that last game, that Week 17 game against the Chargers, maybe for the division.
Probably will be.
Which will be kind of exciting.
But yeah, Raiders beat the Giants 24-17, and of course, McAdoo gets fired today. Eli will be back next week. So,
and you know what was good about the Raiders' performance? Amari Cooper out, Michael Crabtree out. Marshawn Lynch ran like old Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, he was beast mode, and that's what they needed.
Jaguars beat the Colts. Blake Bortles, who...
Let's give credit where it's due.
He played really well yesterday.
One of the best games I've ever seen Blake Bortles play.
And if he plays like that, that team can compete for the Super Bowl. But the reality is he doesn't play like that very often. Ravens beat the Lions 44-20. I didn't see 44 points out of the Ravens.
That was one of my misses. I had the under on that game. And the
Ravens did it by themselves.
Boy, basically. The Ravens offense just decided, you know what, we're going to put up 3 weeks' worth of points today. And everybody on that team blew up on offense. Joe Flacco had a good day. Alex Collins had a good day. They put it together for the first time in a while. And that's a team that's sort of been hanging on to a playoff position.
Yeah.
And if they can play like that, and granted,
and they're starting to play better. Which that's the thing. And their defense has been good all year.
Yeah, their defense is pretty strong. And
they're down a cornerback again, though.
Jimmy Smith again. And that could be disastrous for them. But their last three games, at Cleveland, home to the Colts, home to the Bengals. Hmm. They're at Pittsburgh on Sunday night, which is going to be a big game for them. But those last three are all winnable games. 10-6 isn't out of reach. And 10-6 in the AFC, you are going to the playoffs.
Yeah, no question. And we'll do these other games when we come back, because they're all interesting in different ways. Panthers, Saints, Rams, Cardinals, and Eagles, Seahawks.
Yes.
So we'll talk about those when we come back.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Raising Cane's, and they're teaming up with Home Alone 2 Lost in New York this holiday as they release their 25th anniversary DVD. Be sure to stop by Raising Cane's for always fresh, never frozen chicken and chicken fingers, gift cards, limited edition Kevin plush puppy, and that you buy that plush puppy, easy for me to say. And, you know, you're supporting a pet. 15% of the net proceeds go to support a local pet welfare organization. Look for the movie on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital rated PG. It's the anniversary of Home Alone 2. And Raising Cane's, of course, always fresh, never frozen chicken fingers. So good. The cane sauce, out of this world, and all the great sides. The French fries, the crinkle cut fries, the Texas toast with the real garlic butter blend. So good. And the fresh squeezed lemonade, don't let me forget that. If you need to feed a lot, you got people coming in town for the holidays, you need to feed a bunch of them and don't feel like cooking, Raising Cane's has the tailgate packages. And whether you need 20 fingers or 100, they can take care of it all, and they do it right when you order it. You don't have to pre-order. They just get it done for you. That's Raising Cane's, 25 locations and counting around the city. Raising Cane's, one love.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Saints beat the Panthers 31-21. And, you know, Drew Brees was good, not great. He has not had one of those games this year where they need him to win it. That running back tandem,
they're good.
Where they're playing defense, I like this team a lot moving forward. I will say it.
I was slow to buy into them for sure.
I think they're a legitimate contender in the NFC, along with several other teams.
Yeah, I don't. There's almost everybody who makes the playoffs in the NFC is going to be considered a serious contender, I feel like.
And I still think the Panthers are going to be in that mix at some point because that.
Well, I like that the NFC West teams all play each other at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like that division, you're going to have to earn your way in. And it's the Falcons who are in desperation mode. The Saints in the catbird seat. But they're still one game ahead.
Yeah, one loss and suddenly you're right back. They do have two wins over the Panthers, which helps head to head.
But there's two games to go with the Falcons.
Yeah.
That could make for some interesting tiebreak scenarios, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I like this team, man. I'm going to go on record. But it is interesting that they get the Falcons twice here in the end.
Yeah.
So, sorry, computer acted up. Rams beat the Cardinals 32-16.
The Rams are good.
The Rams are good. Blaine Gabbert just gave them 7 points.
Yeah.
Screwed my cover. But, because I actually wound up getting them at a pretty good number and it wasn't good enough. But, no, the Rams are another one. And I think you look at the NFC, it's all the really all these teams that are 9-3 kind of deserve to be 9-3 or 10-2.
Yeah,
and the Rams are another one, and I it's going to be interesting to see who winds up with the byes because all these teams are pretty close right now. And Eagles lose to the Seahawks, who quietly sitting at 8-4 themselves with a nice win. I still think the Eagles are a really good team.
I do too. You know what was the difference for the Seahawks yesterday? They found a running game, and I don't know if it's permanent. You know, if it's something that's going to last for them, because they've just struggled. If Mike Davis is real, then they're in good shape. But they've struggled all year long to get anybody to run the ball well, and they're just. I mean, people are basically saying we're going to stop Russell Wilson. What can you do about it?
Yeah.
You know, and there's been nobody else to step up and do anything. And yesterday they got that. That's why they look so good. And defensively, they were just great, which is surprising.
Yeah, with all
they've
the,
got so many guys beat up.
But. Can we throw Russell Wilson into the MVP conversation with?
He's at the top of the pile for me. I mean, when you think about what percentage he is of their offense,
yeah.
I mean, he's definitely at the top of the mix. I mean, Carson Wentz is obviously up there too, but I think Russell Wilson, and when they went head to head last night, Russell Wilson beat him.
Yeah, I think those two. I think I'm telling you. Make a case for Case Keenum in the conversation.
I don't think so. I don't think statistically his numbers are going to be there. But I mean, he is having a great year. I don't think it's going to be tough.
Yeah. All right, there you go. There's the NFL.
Tom Brady is another guy.
Brady's still going to be in the conversation. Him. So.
But yeah, there's that. That's, I'm trying to think who else is in that conversation. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady for sure, Carson Wentz for sure. That it might be those three guys. That might be.
That so might it's be, not it's not silly to throw Keenum fourth on that list.
I would say no. But I think that after those three, there you've got a pretty big gap. Like, there's a pretty big gap between Tom Brady and Case Keenum. But, yeah.
Although Brady's numbers haven't been ridiculous this year. I mean, they've been good.
Well, they've been ridiculous, if not by Tom Brady standards, but by right. normal human quarterback standards. They're pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, and he's 75 years old, too. So.
Yeah, it's crazy that Alex Smith, 5 weeks in, everyone was like, oh, give this guy the MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is maybe why we should... Maybe we should slow down on Case Keenum, because the last four games of the season we could be thinking. Yeah. Remember when people were talking about Case Keenum being the MVP?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Maybe if I was looking for a fourth guy in the MVP race, it might be Todd Gurley.
Over Jared Goff?
I think so. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think over Jared Goff. He leads the league in yards from scrimmage. He's he's pretty damn good. That might be my fourth guy. Hmm. Le'Veon Bell's in that combo too.
ESPN's doing those here. You want another top five?
Let's hear their top five.
Carson Wentz.
Okay.
This was after last week's games. Tom Brady.
All right.
Drew Brees.
No.
Russell Wilson. Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Okay.
The Steelers are funny because, I mean, Bell and Brown are both, you could put either one of them in the conversation.
So here's their point total. This was for week 12, so not updated yet, but Wentz. Brady, Brees, Wilson, Brown, Todd Gurley, 6, Le'Veon Bell, 7, Aaron Donald, tied for 7, Cam Jordan, tied for 7, Case Keenum, tied for 7, Cam Newton, tied for 7, Jared Goff, Adam Thielen, Alex Smith, 1 vote, Dak Prescott, 1 vote, Matthew Stafford, 1
Dak
vote.
Dak Prescott?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, they do first through fifth, so those three guys, Smith, Prescott, and Stafford, all got 1 fifth place vote. Okay. 713-780 ESPN. And Trent says Antonio Brown gets my fourth. But
I wouldn't argue against him either. I think I'd still take Gurley over him, but I wouldn't argue.
Jesse asked maybe a question for RJ, but how much did Tiger Woods' odds to win a major changed after his performance this weekend? I don't remember exactly, but I do know his Masters odds just got cut in half.
Dang.
After like the second round. Because I remember seeing the story, but I don't remember the exact number. I'm pretty sure somebody tweeted it out. Squeeze in a quick call. Travis. Go, Travis.
Hello?
Hey, Scorch, Travis.
Yeah, I was saying MVP, Drew Brees. It could be Drew Brees. He's having a month year. The Saints are going great. The defense is playing great. They're stopping people. I mean, that should be the team everybody's worried about.
Hey, Travis, before we let you go, who's your favorite team?
I'm a Texans fan. I've already given up on him.
Okay. Yeah, I to me, Drew Brees isn't even – he hasn't even been the best player on the Saints.
No, I mean – and again, it's like we're talking about by Drew Brees standards.
It's not been a crazy year for Drew Brees, who's normally at the top of every statistical category. And I mean, he's having a good year, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I might pick Mark Ingram before I'd say Drew Brees.
I'd say it's
and the problem with Mark Ingram is Kamara's cut into his production so much that it's hard to pick either one of them.
Comparatively speaking, I think this is probably going to be one of his statistically now rating wise he's up there.
Yeah,
but statistically, this is going to be one of those years that's not one of his 37 and 15s or 32 and 11s with 5,000 yards. And right now he's got 3,200 yards. He's probably going to come in around 43, 44 when all said and done. It's a really good year, but it's not among his best yardage wise. And I don't think he's going to wind up throwing 30 touchdown passes.
I don't think so either.
But he's only got 5 picks, which is pretty impressive. That's also a low number for him. But that's they're winning it a different way. And they're winning because they can run the ball and they're playing defense. And somebody says Tiger's Masters odds went from 100 to 1 to 15 to 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
God, Tom Brady's numbers are so stupid. Yeah, I know you said he's not having like a crazy – I mean, by his standards, it's not out of this world, but 26 touchdowns, 4 picks, leads the league in passing yards.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good. You know my favorite number when looking at these at Drew, my favorite number on Drew Brees' stat line, 71.5% completion percentage.
That's pretty outstanding.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, and Brady's rating's like 109.7, but even that's down a little bit from the last couple of years. Well, last year, 28-2. I mean, that's just sick. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, I guess maybe he is having a better year. I just visually watching him, it just seemed like he hasn't played as well, but those numbers are up there. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Steelers fan here, so straight up, who do you both take tonight? This is usually a game they lose since the Patriots are up next week.
Yeah, but the Bengals are so trashy on primetime. I mean, they're Texans level bad in primetime games. I'll pick the Steelers. I'm not picking them to cover, but I'll pick them to win. As long as AJ Green gets his 12 fantasy points, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really have an opinion tonight. I might lean Bengals, but I'm not. It's not getting any of my money. My budget for the week is gone. So, all right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We're supposed to have a guest right now.
Yeah, I texted him. I'll see if he's still here.
Okay. Is he like locked in there doing NFL draft stuff?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's probably what it is.
Deep in the film.
Yeah, you get in those offices with those doors closed and you lose track of time. But somebody says, not considering Brees is punishing him for having a good running game. But if you're most valuable, I mean, that's the thing.
Oh, God.
Get out of here with that. And, man, I don't know why I thought Brady wasn't having a Brady year. He's
pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he had the kind of games where you look up and go, wow, he's just kicking ass. You look at those numbers, my goodness.
Yeah, he's piling them up.
Yeah, but
it's not punishing Drew Brees. And at the end of the day, if Drew Brees makes the playoffs, you think he's going to be sad that he didn't get the MVP trophy? No, he'll be happy that he had a running game. But I promise you, Tom Brady wishes that he had Melvin Ingram and Alvin Kamara behind him.
Yeah.
I mean, he would trade that for the MVP trophy probably.
But, I mean, that's the thing. You should be happy that you're winning a different way than having to rely on Brees for everything.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. You think Russell Wilson doesn't wish he had some running backs?
Nah.
He would take running backs over an MVP trophy.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 832 says it's because you suck at football analysis. Well, you suck at texting, sir. So, and probably life.
Damn.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
You come with that crap. Bad day at kindergarten, wasn't it? Got picked on at lunch. It happens. Hey, your Rockets won again last night.
I'm telling you, Rockets are never going to lose again. They're the best team.
It's interesting to me that, like, Gordon's kind of fallen off a little bit since Paul's been back, but
yeah.
Capella has been amazing.
He's a beast.
That guy's just turned into a monster.
Yeah, listen, I've said it all year long. They're a different team, and I think not even with Chris Paul on the court, but just with Chris Paul in the building, because maybe I'm wrong. I'm not in their locker room, but Chris Paul's got to be the leader of this team, because if James Harden was the leader of this team, it would look like every other Rockets team that's been here since James Harden's been here, a team that doesn't care about defense. And Chris Paul, I think in that locker room, even when he's not on the floor, makes these guys prioritize the defensive end. And
well, they've added guys who that's what they do in PJ Tucker and Mbamute. Yeah. And that to me, those signings under the radar, but man, they made a big difference for this team. I think.
Well, it's like a full team effort instead of James Harden and a bunch of guys on the floor. And that's made a big difference, I think. And yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm not running out and putting them ahead of the Warriors, but they're interesting. And they're fun to watch.
You worry about that when it happens, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a contender, which is, even last year when they were, you know, they were good, I never thought of them as a contender. This year, I think they're a contender.
You know what else we haven't talked about yet?
Genital warts.
I don't really want to talk
about it. It's time to have a serious discussion.
No, I don't think we should. I don't think we should.
Save it for off the air, you're saying?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll talk about it. It's fine.
Jimbo Fisher officially.
Yeah, the red carpet's been rolled out, Fred.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said all along, it's a great hire for Aggie. I mean, I don't think they could have. They shot for the stars, and that's what they got. But when
you get a list of coaches that you'd like to have, it's a pretty short list. It's before Jimbo Fisher. I mean,
yeah.
Saban, Meyer, Sweeney.
Harbaugh, maybe. That's about it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've seen a lot of people say, well, he
you know, Kevin Sumlin.
No, not Kevin Sumlin.
Oh,
there he is.
He shows up when he feels like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Big Shot.
So this is what happens when you're important.
Mr. Big Shot.
Now you're going to love this. So my wife's blowing me up with 100 zillion texts about stuff like, can you go get chocolate coins at World Market? You know, stuff like this.
Not about the Wisconsin right defensive end?
No, I was watching Michigan defensive tackle, actually.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I was watching. No, not Wisconsin. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. She stalked our neighbor so she could go see the baby for the first time. How late are you staying? I'm making pork tenderloin. I mean, all these are legitimate comments. I'm not saying they're not.
Right.
I don't want to end up, you know, in AJ territory and get in trouble here. But I don't need 100. She's one of those people who texts like, it's sentence, send, sentence, send.
You like
sentence,
to put everything send. Into one big
yeah.
sentence? I'd like that too. I like to send a paragraph of everything
you know
I need
what?
To say.
This is what I want to hear. Because, of course, I've got it on vibrate.
Yeah.
And I'm looking. Burr, oh, okay. Burr, burr, burr. That's all it is. Burr, 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 burr. I'm like, I'm trying to look at defensive tackles over here like a grown man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all I'm hearing is, burr, 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 and I lose track of time. I'm like, oh, man. And it was Jong who had sent a text. And well, my wife had sent seven, but one of the ones that I had heard was
mixed Jong. In.
Yeah, I thought she had just sent eight. She had only sent seven in a row.
Gotcha.
And then he was the eighth. So my apologies.
Good excuse.
It's actually sadly real.
We were talking a little bit about the college football playoff and, you know, their decision that they made, which I still think is the right one because I didn't think Ohio State had a chance in hell of winning. And whether that's the right criteria or not, that's a different conversation. But I'm more interested now because I think Alabama can beat Clemson. I don't think Ohio State could. But watching that Ohio State-Wisconsin game, and you watch all this film on these guys, JT Barrett might be the best quarterback in the Big Ten, and that's really embarrassing to consider.
Oh my gosh, he is, isn't he?
How bad is quarterback play in the Big Ten if JT Barrett is the best one?
I mean, best might be Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the best. That's a guy who's going to get drafted. JT Barrett's not going to get drafted. Hornibrook can't play.
He's horrible.
I don't even know who's at Michigan State now. Michigan has nobody now. Spate is going to get drafted but he's not healthy.
Right.
Doesn't matter. The guy from Indiana isn't a player. So, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Quarterback play is bad. They do certain things pretty well, you know, defensive linemen. And I'll tell you what else, though. I just finished writing up the Ohio State defensive front, right? I wrote up Sam Hubbard, Jalen Holmes, who else? This Draymond Jones, I'm assuming he's coming out. He may not. I studied them all weekend. That's who I looked at when I got back on Sunday. Actually, it was all yesterday. Watched about three, four games on those guys. They were disappointing. Like, it just, they weren't as good. I expected them to be just animals this year. And they didn't, I mean, they lost twice. They gave up 50 points to Iowa.
Yeah.
That wasn't an accident. They didn't live up to the hype. They weren't as good as they were billed. And they were they were just disappointing. And one thing I know with Alabama, I'm always going to get a good defensive effort. Now, Deshaun Watson put it on a pretty good a couple years in a row, and they struggle at times with, you know, with elite scramblers, and Deshaun just is on a different level. Johnny, of course, really gave them a lot of trouble, clearly, in 2012 and parts of 2013. But why wouldn't the same thing be the case with Kelly Bryant if they played him? Like, I'm with you. I just don't think – I play a little game that I like to call the gun-to-the-head game. I told John about this today. And you can say whatever you want to. You know, you can talk in front of people.
Yeah.
But let's just say you had someone put a gun right to your head, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what's it? What are you doing? Like, I know the results between Alabama and Ohio State. We played them in a game in another dimension, and I know the results. So, Mr. Arguing for Ohio State, who do you think wins? And if you miss, I'm going to pull the trigger. Watch how fast their answer changes to Alabama in the gun-to-the-head contest, because then all of a sudden it's, I'm going to go Alabama.
Yeah, they probably won, but that doesn't mean they had a better resume.
Yeah, they start that stuff. Like, I just want the – you guys are play the game within the game. I want the best – and you know what that means, obviously, the gambling world. I just want the best – I've always long felt that Vegas could make the top four of all time, you know, every single year, obviously. I just want the four best teams playing. I don't have any biases. I don't care.
Yeah.
Give me the four best
teams. That's what I said. I'm not going to cry a tear for Ohio State or Alabama if they get left out. Because,
Neither one.
Who gets more bones thrown to them than either one of those schools? Every year they get a bone. So they don't get it 1 year. Wah. A horrible injustice. And like I said, Urban Meyer saying, I think the Big Ten champion deserves to play in the champion. Except last year when Penn State won the Big Ten and you right. and you went and played in the tournament instead.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you didn't care then.
Exactly.
So, I don't feel bad for Ohio State, but I wouldn't have felt bad for Alabama either.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you guys. I wouldn't have either.
Lance, how do you fix the Texans' offensive line in the offseason?
I mean, you can't. You can't fix them all. You got to go get some free agents at guard. Everyone's just acting like, oh, who's the tackle? Good tackles aren't on the...
They
don't become available. You got to get older tackles who are overpriced and maybe have a year or two left, like Russell Okung or whatever, where you have to overpay just to get average at tackle, which at this point, they probably should consider. You go out and you make smart additions via free agency at guard. You can go clean up the guard play a lot with just smarter free agent acquisitions. And then you're going to have to spend at least one draft pick. One of those third rounders is going to have to be on
two.
A tackle or a guard. Yeah, if not two. I mean, it's that dire a situation. But I think cornerback is going to get to be a little bit dire too. And you got to – I think you're going to have to, you know – you could do what you're doing at safety right now, but – I mean, to me, you better get better at cornerback or deeper at cornerback, and then you got to handle the offensive line. You have to. And it might mean packaging a couple threes, moving up, and getting into the second round for a tackle because it's that important.
Is there a player on that offensive line other than Nick Martin who should be an NFL starter?
Allen's time has come and gone. Suofilo, no. I mean, for a decent playoff. I only care about playoff level teams.
I'm talking about if you take the top 32 left tackles,
right,
and say, is there 32 right tackles across the board? How many of those guys?
Top half.
How many of those guys are even in in the bottom third?
All right, so not the guards. Jeff Allen, once again, he's just
not there anymore.
He's not there anymore. Nope. Right. Nope.
Yeah, Nick Martin is the only player and I think Nick Martin's probably average.
I would say average at best.
Yeah,
I would say right now, a lot of teams would not trade their centers for Nick Martin.
Yeah,
not the good teams.
14 to 18 is kind of what I figure. I don't think anybody else is even in the 20s, like or in the top 20.
And the tackle they drafted last year, Julian Davenport, it's going to take time for him. He's from Bucknell. He's got pretty good feet, but he's a project. He's a project, so... I don't think he's a quick fix answer next year at all. I don't look at that at all. I thought he was a project going in. I thought the Texans last year going into round two and round three on day two, when the first round was over and they had drafted Deshaun, they did have a second. I thought, okay, they're going to need to draft a tackle probably in the second. They went and got Zach Cunningham, which I was fine with because they're so bad at covering at linebacker.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I got a pretty good grade on Zach Cunningham. Then in the third, they went and got Foreman, and I like Foreman. Man, I just feel like you can get running backs later in the draft, and why not get the tackle in the third, because once you get past the third, it was a wrap.
No,
I looked at the board and I'm like, if they don't get a tackle here in the third, I mean, they're not going to get anyone that can help them in the next year and maybe even 2 years.
Well, not to mention, and Foreman's he's a nice player, don't get me wrong, but running back wasn't like high on the list of needs. And you know, the drop from Deontay Foreman to Alfred Blue wasn't necessarily like out of this world. And then at the end of training camp, remember, they had to like make a decision to cut running backs that they didn't want to cut because they had too many of them. There was never a like, oh God, which one of these left tackles do we have to cut?
You know,
it's so good. It's sad.
You know what's funny, Fred, is when I started writing for you guys at the Chronicle, and that was before Kubiak got in. I think that was, or maybe it was when Kubiak first got in. Yeah, it was when Kubiak first got in. I guess it was about a year. I really started to study the zone scheme. And one of the things that I discovered and one of the things I learned that I didn't necessarily believe previously, and I know Alex Gibbs always preached this, is you can find run – and now doing the draft, I mean, and watching on this tape, I know for a fact, you can find guys who can become serviceable to good NFL running backs in the third round or beyond. Jordan Howard was a fifth-round pick. I mean, come on. There are all kinds of – you can find guys who can become good running backs and starting running backs in a fourth round or beyond. I'm almost to the point, unless they're special, I don't want to take them until day three. And I can't believe I'm that guy. Now, special is special. But once you get past special, unless it's a big need, and like you said, AJ, it really wasn't a huge – it wasn't like priority number one, two, or three. Not right. To me.
No.
So,
well, I don't know. One thing is – and they've addressed offensive line in the draft in the past, but I just think their evaluation of the position sucks. Xavier Suafilo, and it looks like Martin may work out, but even going back to Antoine Caldwell and some of those guys that they were spending high picks on, they never panned out to be anything.
No, that's been the problem. I think Newton was a good pick for a sixth, seventh rounder, you know, but we know he's just, you know, that's done, I guess. So Philo was a bust, and I missed on him, too. He was a big learning – because I knew he had trouble in pass protection. I just figured, he'll get that cleaned up. No, certain things you don't get cleaned up. And it's still to this day, he's a pretty decent run blocker and a horrible pass protector.
Thing is, he looks the part. He really does. When you see him on the field, he looks like he should be able to play, and he just can't.
No, he can
–
he can
just make – like, I always – because I was a big – they should draft Derek Carr guy. Mm-hmm. And
that one hurts.
I mean, I said
it hurts less today, but it hurt for 3 years. It hurt.
Yeah. Now that they've got Watson, it doesn't seem as silly. But I was like, you could have had Derek Carr, but because his last name is Carr, you chose Xavier Suafilo instead.
Yeah. And that's a true story. I don't know why. I guess the Texans don't have to admit it, but the owner didn't want him. The owner didn't want another Carr because he was worried about what the fans would say and all this and that. Maybe he was worried that Roger Carr would show up on the sidelines at practice every day like he did with the Texans. But
yeah, I was told that was a big deal.
Yeah,
with
let me tell you,
it probably was. Yeah.
Derek Carr could play left guard better than Xavier Suafilo.
Yeah, I mean, if you start making your decisions of personnel moves and draft picks
on what
you think fan reaction, and that's not a team that's done that. They didn't do it with Mario Williams. They didn't worry with J.J. Watt. They just went out and made their picks. I mean, they don't strike me as a team that worries about fan reaction. But that Carr was a different deal. They weren't going to take. They weren't going to take Derek Carr. They were going to – Garoppolo is the one they got bit on because they waited too long and tried to get too cute, and the Patriots got him. Yeah. That was the guy they wanted.
You still happy doing the show, or are you tired of it yet?
No. It's good. I mean, doing a show at 7 versus 6 is night and day for
okay.
me.
Okay. You're not I sick still, of John yet?
No, he's good. No, we're good.
Have you had to do a show on the road yet?
No.
Oh boy, that's when it's gonna really sink in. Like,
what do you mean on the road?
Like when you go out, like you guys will go to like Nick's place.
We're doing Trailer Wheel and Frame. We used to have some of the biggest drunks that would come out to Nick's place in the morning. We used to do every Friday at Nick's place, and some of the guys that would show up, I'm like, some of them were on our own sales staff at that particular time, pounding drinks.
Some of them were me.
Yeah,
I would show up for those.
But Fred actually showed up. But we had like. Some of the comedians, I think about it, we had Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Patrice O'Neill, Jim Jeffries. These guys all came into Nick's place on Friday mornings at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Some of the best comedians.
And Louis C.K. masturbated in Nick's place, didn't he? In front of everybody?
But it was on the other side.
It was on the European side.
The European side with the plants,
okay.
Yeah.
So that didn't really happen.
So it didn't happen. Yeah, we didn't see it.
That's good.
It was by the dartboard.
Well, hey, thanks for stopping in with us.
Yeah. So, are y'all entertaining much Texans talk right now, or how's the show going?
We did the first segment on it, and then we're like, We just don't care.
I care a lot more about college football right now.
Yeah. For some reason, like yesterday I was watching the Texans game and I was like, God, this sucks. I hate watching it because there's no draft pick to lose for. There's no playoffs that you can win for. Like, yeah. It's just a nothing. It's a big, giant nothing. And then the rest of the day watching football, I was very happy. I was like, oh, this is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And then that dreaded Monday morning wake up where you watch the Texans game the second time. Oh, it's just miserable to sit there and force feed yourself a product that you don't care for.
One of my kids for the first time, I had my 9-year-old get in trouble for. He's starting to really lose his mind about stuff. When Jeff Allen false started for really the first time, he was screaming at the TV. The second time he went ballistic, and I thought the third one was an aneurysm. And I had to have a talk with
him. He's like a hardcore fan.
Oh, yeah, but he just thinks everything's the worst. He thought Jose Altuve was terrible. He told me that at one point. Jose, like, dude, he's 0 for 2 today. Stop saying Jose Altuve's terrible. Quit being a fatalist. I can't have this in my house.
How old
it's
is
like
he?
9.
Oh,
and everything's the worst. And this player and James. And it started when James Harden had those like 12 turnovers against Golden State that one time. And what was it, 14?
Yeah.
14?
The Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and he was, what, 6 then? And he's just. That's when it all started.
I would have loved to watch that game 6 of the Spurs series with him last year.
Oh, it was bad. That was bad, too. And he hates Tom Savage now. I mean, he really.
Yeah, he should.
He.
And I feel bad for Tom Savage because he seems like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He is a nice guy.
But, God, he sucks so bad at his job. And then yesterday was like probably his best day on the job as a Texan.
Yesterday cemented his opportunity to be a lifetime backup quarterback, or at least for 5 more years.
Yeah, because
he looked like, hey, this guy could be a decent backup.
That's what you hope your back, like if you need 1 week, mm-hmm. maybe 2 weeks, you need a guy to come in and be okay. If he does what he did yesterday, that's good.
Yeah, he may have made himself money with yesterday's
it's
game.
It's crazy.
That's where the Texans are currently.
That's crazy. Yeah, and you think the Texans are going to pay him?
No.
Somebody else, right?
No, you don't pay. No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Good.
Just go develop one. Go draft one. No, well, you don't have draft picks.
I honestly don't know why.
He's a free agent. No, just tell him, look, if you want to stay, we'll pay you, you know, $1.5 million to be a backup. Backups usually go for $3
million. Just go get Brian Hoyers or whatever. They're all out there.
Yeah. That's true.
Because I think,
you guys think O'Brien stays?
I think so. We were talking about this a little bit. Like, I'm not firing that guy for this season because – if Deshaun Watson's healthy, this team's probably 6-6 right now, and they might not make the playoffs, but they're at least worth watching, and there's something to build on.
What do you think, Fred?
I think you bring him back for one more year, but you do not give him an extension. You let him coach the last year of his deal. Players have contract years. Coaches should have contract years. Let him coach for his job.
Let him be Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and if he wins big, you're happy to pay him, and if he doesn't, see you.
I think it's tough. I just don't know how the relationship between he and the general manager plays out. And if Cal McNair takes over for Bob McNair, which I think is going to happen,
yeah,
you know, what does Cal McNair think of him? I think that's kind of a wild card, too. So it'll be interesting. They might bring him back.
I don't know what Cal thinks about anything, to be honest.
I don't either. I've never heard him talk about stuff.
Yeah.
No idea. All right, boys. I'll be in the other room if you need me for another segment.
All right, man. Just
thanks for dropping
on guard play now.
Well, enjoy.
Trying to find us some Texans.
What do you got here?
Harley Davidson.
Ah, all right. Got to tell you guys about Harley Davidson again, Republic Harley Davidson. And listen, you want to stop by and pick up some Harley gear for the rider in your life. Republic HD is the place to be. They've got a fantastic showroom. They've got new used Harleys, and they're open 7 days a week during the holiday season. Great time to come in and test drive that newer used Harley you've been talking about. And you want that gear, you want the gloves, the helmets, the jackets, the T-shirts, whatever it is. You want trinkets for your dad or your grandpa or whatever. You want something small, big, small. They've got it all at Republic Harley Davidson. And they go out of their way to make your trip to their dealership the best experience possible. Because, like I've said before, there's 3 dealerships closer to my house than Republic Harley Davidson is. I still go to Republic to get my servicing done because they treat me right. They treat my bike right. That's what I love. Guys, they've got financing for everyone. They're open 7 days a week during the holidays. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway. They're going to make it worth your while to get down there and visit them. Online at RepublicHD.com. That's Republic Harley Davidson.